Hello, it's Mike Robb. Welcome to The Point, where all parts of pop culture come together. We start our exclusive look at Movie 43, the comedy with all the big names like Richard Gere, Halle Berry, and so many, many more. But how did they get all these people to play funny? In the meantime, there's more coming from the Robert Kirkman universe, and Fringe goes out with a bang. Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
You may have heard the buzz about Movie 43, or saw a trailer or a clip that featured stars like Halle Berry, Richard Gere, Emma Stone, Seth MacFarlane, and many, many more. And that's just scratching the surface behind the story of the new film, which began as a brainchild of the Farrelly brothers. Peter Farrelly was quick to tell me that the original inspiration came from Kentucky Fried Movie, a 1970s film by John Landis.
Kentucky Fried Movie was a huge influence on us. It was the first time in my life, you know, when I was a kid, that you said, oh my God, I had no idea you could do that. And they hadn't done one in a long time. There have been a couple of shorts movies, but they weren't comedies. And we quickly realized that, you know, times have changed since Kentucky Fried Movie, and mainly in that attention spans have shortened. And it's very hard to get people to sit through 15 short films because at some point they're looking at their watch thinking, I don't know if I want to start a new one.
That problem was solved with a framing sequence that features more big names like Dennis Quaid, Common, and Seth MacFarlane, telling an overlapping story that binds the film together. That's just the beginning of the familiar faces you see here. But my question was, is it hard to get these big names to play along?
Well, you know, it's funny. Charlie Wessler, who produced it along with John Panani and myself, Charlie Wessler is a bit of a Gatsby-esque figure in Hollywood, I will say, in that he's been in the business. He went to Beverly High. He was a PA on Star Wars. You know, Empire Strikes Back, he was like an assistant to the guys. You know, he's been around forever. He's been producing movies. He knows everybody. It's the weirdest thing. He's that joke, you know, the guy who knows everybody. So it made it easier because a lot of times he was just personally calling people and saying, hey, Liev, you know, do you want to do this short thing I'm doing? Or, you know, or Kate Winslet, any interest in this thing? It made it a lot easier. If we ever had to go through everybody's agents, you couldn't possibly assemble a cast like that because the agents would have just blocked everybody out saying, were you kidding me? It's a $6 million movie. Why do I want them to do that?
Was there anybody who said no?
There were people who said no, definitely. There always are. You know, like George Clooney passed. You know, he had something going on. Again, a friend of Charlie's. Charlie just called him and said, hey, come on, George, do this thing. No, I can't do it. I got this or that. Or I don't want to do it. You know, I mean, it's not for everybody. Some people would read it and say, you got to be shitting me. You can't do that. But as far as if somebody wanted to do it and they were busy, like that did happen a lot. And that's why this movie was made over a 3.5 year period because they were all different writers, all different directors, and all different actors, we were able to shut down for like 6 months at a time. So when he talked to like Richard Gere, he said, hey, Richard, do you want to do this thing? And Richard said, I'd love to, but I'm working for a year. He goes, well, when are you free? He goes, like, not till like a year from February. He said, great, great, we'll do it then. He goes, seriously? He goes, yeah, we'll wait for you then. And that's what he did.
So where did the title come from?
I was picking my kids up at school one day, and they were probably like 3 years ago. They were like 10 and 9 years old. And we're driving home, and it was my kids and their friends. And one of their friends said, hey, have you guys seen Movie 43? And I got my interest. I said, what's Movie 43? He said, it's this great movie on the internet. Like, it's really, it's this cool thing. Like, everyone's watching. I said, well, what is it? He goes, I haven't seen it. We got it. My brother was telling me about Movie 43. It's only on the internet. It's a short film. It's crazy. I was like, I couldn't wait to get home. I'm sitting there like, okay, I got to see this thing. We get home, we plug in Movie 43, and nothing pops up. And we try everything, and there's no Movie 43. And he calls his brother. He says, hey, what's that thing called? And he says, no, it's called like Scene 20 or something. And I had this now Movie 43 ingrained in my head. I'm taking that title.
We'll talk more to Peter and the other talents behind Movie 43, including exploring the fact that it's a little difficult these days to be cutting edge on the big screen when there's so much over-the-top comedy on the internet. In the meantime, Movie 43 opens in theaters this weekend, and you can see more right now at whatismovie43.com.
The Point Radio.
Here we go with the very latest in pop culture. Move over, Kill Bill, and Inglourious Basterds. Django Unchained has now become Quentin Tarantino's highest grossing movie. So far, it's made just about $130 million in the U.S. and well on the way to a lot more around the world. Of course, two Golden Globe wins certainly didn't hurt it, and it's up for five Oscar nominations as well, including Best Picture. We're not spoiling anything when we tell you that last week's series finale to Fringe went out with a bang, and that's where the ratings that we're talking about here. The two-hour closer was up about 25% in ratings from the previous week in the coveted 18 to 49-year-old demo, and it matched its last season finale in that group as well. It was the most-watched episode of Fringe in nearly a year. If you're a Robert Kirkman fan, well, you probably follow Invincible, and you know that that book is heading to issue 100 soon, with a rather ominous tag that Kirkman has let out called The Death of Everything. Well, we don't really have any information on exactly what that means, but we can tell you that Invincible will continue in some form after that. Invincible Universe is set as a series from Image, coming up not long after Invincible 100. This will be handled by Phil Hester doing the writing as well. And it'll include characters like the Astounding Wolfman and the Guardians of the Globe. First issue of Invincible Universe from Image is set to be in comic stores in April. It looks like DC will be using Free Comic Book Day this year to promote Man of Steel, the new Superman movie. They've announced that they're offering that day will be a reprint of Action Comics number 844 from back in 2006. That was the first part of the Last Sun story arc, co-written by Jeff Johns and Richard Donner, with art by Andy Kubert as well. There'll also be a preview of the upcoming Scott Snyder and Jim Lee Superman series in the book as well. Free Comic Book Day, not that far from now, it comes up in May. We have to remind you there's no better way to get over the midwinter blues than a trip to the comic store, and that just seems to happen at least every week for all of us. And this week, here are the things you need to check out, beginning with a series called Answer from Dark Horse. It's a new superhero mystery series that we think may just be a sleeper. It's created by Mike Norton, and again, the first issue out this week. Also from Dark Horse, the Buffyverse Sampler, collecting the first issues of Buffy Season 9, Angel and Faith, and the Willow and Spike one-shots as well. A great jumping-on point for someone who may have enjoyed the TV show and not yet gotten into the world of the Buffy comic books. From DC, the Books of Magic Deluxe Edition, collecting a beautiful set of those first four issues of the Books of Magic miniseries by Neil Gaiman. In a pretty inexpensive package, by the way, just under $25. Borderlands, the hottest video game out there. Borderlands Origins number 1 sold out from IDW, and now there's a second printing of that, as well as the third issue out this week. Speaking of sellouts, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic number 1 has a third printing, and the box set as well as the third printing this week, both available in stores. Star Trek Countdown to Darkness tells us what's going to happen before the film that premieres in a few months. It could be of interest as well. And from Image, second printing of Revival number 5 and a new issue of Revival number 6 out this week. And from Marvel, one thing to look for, the Young Avengers first issue from Marvel Now. All that and more inside a good and warm comic book store in your area. Find out what's cooking in there with the comic book locator service, 1-888-COMIC-BOOK, or you can use that free app anytime. It's available in the App Store. The Point. That's it for the podcast, but we continue to cover pop culture 24/7 at GetThePointRadio.com. You can always listen at your desktop or take us anywhere on your iPhone and your iPad with an app that's available right now in the iTunes App Store. It's free, easy to find. Just look us up under Pop Culture and The Point. Or if you have a Droid or a BlackBerry, you can take us along too there with an app called TuneIn Radio. It's also free in your App Store. In the meantime, this podcast is put together twice every week by Malcontent Media. It starts on great websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com. And it's also always in the iTunes podcast directory, where you can make us smile every time you subscribe. Get in touch on social media under The Point Radio on Facebook and on Twitter. And we'll see you back here in a few days. Get the-